This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every other day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're
going
to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Rich.
Too much work.
Says the guy that's got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
It's been an interesting day. It always is, at least somewhat interesting, the Monday after the draft. Can't lie. This draft, rotational defensive linemen, two corners.
Maybe this draft needed the juice Bean gave
it
this morning.
Tell you.
needed an infusion of Bean. Angry Bean.
Angry Bean. Yeah, angry's probably right. He sounded angry. He makes a point, before we get back to calls again, if you're just tuning in, leaving work, this conversation about the merits, the need for a wide receiver have been ongoing for a long time, not just this particular offseason, I mean years. And just whether the Bills have A, made enough of a commitment, B, picked the right guys. I mean, they're always different things. And we had that again this year. It wasn't a draft for me that it ever seemed like this needed to happen. The guys who were projected to be first-round picks went. The Bills were never trading up for a receiver. I mean, if they were ever going to pick one. What you got today was he revealed, maybe he didn't want to, but he got hot and basically said, we don't need a wide receiver. And that's not a quote. We don't need a wide receiver. Didn't you watch our games? 30 points a game. That is, you just heard the one clip. That is winning football. And is that surprising? It's maybe surprising that he got frazzled and he said it. And he, even in the same interview, later went kind of back to the tone of, we looked at it, we talked about it, if we thought the guy was there, we would have taken him, et cetera, et cetera. No. He told you, and they didn't do it, the actions always speak louder, but he told you that that was not their plan, and that they like what they are and who they have. And a lot of people would agree with him. I mean, it is 31 points a game. It's just, as we push it another day forward here, and really, today's story is more about like him kind of losing it on the air, not so much the same debate we have all the time.
Right.
Are the guys they have good enough?
Yeah, and yeah, can they continue to score at the clip that they were scoring at last year? Or, you know, something close to it. You know, another year in this offense, another year without this person in it, this number one receiver. And again, like, there's no confusion here about how you get that guy. The Bills were not going to get a guy that would be that right away in this draft anywhere. Maybe if they traded up on Thursday, but beyond that, like, you're looking at someone who would be more of a grower with you, which is, I think, totally normal and called for, given the state of their room right now. But I'm mostly about can you keep doing this? Can you keep scoring at this level? You had a lot of good fortune with turnovers last year, and that's not all accidental. Some of that is a focus on it and attention to it. Okay, but still, it was so disproportionate, and that helped them a lot. And, you know, sure, I know they needed help on defense. The turnovers tell part of that story. I mean, the playoff game against Baltimore, the only stops they got were turnovers. That is no way to live. Like, you got to stop some teams sometimes. So, fine, devote your assets. But I felt like going into it, into the offseason, Bean himself, along with the head coach McDermott, kind of sounded the alarm about Coleman and, to a lesser extent, Kincaid. I wasn't sitting here when the season wrap-up news conferences were going on worried about either one of those players. But the way they talked about what they needed them to do more of made me think, like, boy, are they really worried? Because to be public like that, it can be. It doesn't have to be. Maybe it's just brutally, completely honest. Everything's on the table here. But I feel like normally if they're going to say something like that about a player publicly,
it's a strategy.
And in private, it's probably much harsher or direct or whatever. It's just they're more worried about it than they're letting on by even bringing it up, I think. That's my cue. I could be making a mistake in that, I admit. But that was always on my mind through this process about free agency and the draft, trade for a receiver. Are they gonna do it? Do they feel they have the need? Because they're talking like they're talking about their last two first rounders needing, you know, they need more. And, like, I agree. Of course they need more. But how worried are you? How certain are you you're going to get it? And add to that, that once last year with the Everybody Eats and all the T-shirts and all the good tidings Everybody Eats brought, they traded for a guy who had been a number one his entire career in the NFL 6 weeks into the season. So your own actions and words sort of, for me, created the need in a more pronounced way than I think I would have otherwise.
You thought they might do it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people thought the same. I guess I did too. But today, on a normal day from Bean, based on what he'd said previously, it would have been, yeah, I guess the guy wasn't there. I'd be saying that kind of thing today. Mm-hmm. I guess who knows if they would have, but would you not agree? He today was like, we would not have. That was the rant. 803-0550. Ian is next. Hi, Ian.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Sure. You're welcome.
I just wanted to first, I got 4 points, but I want to explain where I'm coming from. You know,
all right.
I'm not.
Do it quick.
Yeah, got it. Okay. I was fine with the draft, a little disappointed. Wide receiver wasn't addressed more than it was. I'm just bothered how Bean did it today. It makes me question him. He says only one football, so many people, but then he says everybody eats. That's really contradictive. He talks about wanting speed every year, but never actually goes for it, other than getting some washed-up guys who's never really been relevant on any team to any significance. He goes out and gets Cooper, works out Elijah Moore today, but defends that they're good at wide receiver and doesn't really need to do anything. That's super contradictive. And then he goes and says they have like 30 points a game, but doesn't want to pay Cook, even though he had a big part in that, which is fine. You know, I'm not about that anyway for running back, but you got to have a plan. You know, Matt Collins was your leading receiver, for heaven's sake, for touchdowns, and you didn't even really – you know, do anything to resolve that matter, you know? So those are my issues with it. You know, I'd like to know what you guys think.
Thanks, Ian. It's definitely, I think you'd have to admit, not time to give Bean the L for Cook, right? Nothing has really happened yet.
No.
And you don't want to just pay, you don't want your GM paying players whatever they want.
And yeah, an L for Cook would be giving him $15 million a year, in my opinion.
Yeah. So they didn't draft anybody that would make you think that they're moving in on him. I mean, they didn't literally draft one running back here. So the rest of it, we're kind of saying it all. You know, it's kind of more of the same. Is it contradictory to bring in Elijah Moore when you like your room? I don't want to say that. This was last year, over and over, by the way, when they were bringing in all these different guys who were, you know, at best sort of journeymen or dart throws. I mean, you want to give them credit for trying. just because he says we like our guys doesn't mean he should never try to get another one. That's kind of the objection right. in the first place.
Right.
But again, is Elijah Moore good? Is anybody really past Shakir that they have good? Not anybody here on this list. I guess maybe Samuel a little bit, but that's a few years ago, has really proven that. Let's go to Justin next. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just touch on offense real quick, and then I really want to get to the head coach and what this draft means to him. But, you know, Josh Allen was MVP last year, but that was really what he did without, not what he did with. He had his lowest total yards passing and total yards touchdowns in the season since 2019. And I think it was the Bulldog who was saying, you know, is this sustainable? I mean, he only had 27 yards passing against Baltimore. So, I mean, you don't really win too many games like that. I mean, I think we lucked into a couple turnovers and things like that as well. But really, you know, apart from the offense, what I want to know is, you know, what's going on and what pressure this places on McDermott, because this really isn't an issue about Kansas City. This in the playoffs, this is about Kansas City, the Bengals. I mean, we gave up, you know, 30 plus a Skylar Thompson and Miami. I'm one to believe that, you know, look, maybe it's a scheme thing. I don't know. But my concern is that, you know, we're talking about, and I think, again, Bulldog brought this up, you know, we're trying to beat KC by 4. Well, why not just be up by 14? And for me personally, I think Josh Allen honestly could get us to the playoffs with a box of Twinkies at head coach. The question is, how are we going to get beyond that? How are we going to make this Super Bowl? And how are we going to win a Super Bowl? And I love McDermott and his philosophy and everything like that with, you know, keeping the locker room, you know, squared away. But seriously, I have to ask myself, like, dude, we've given you so much stuff and it still isn't enough. And my question is, you know, hey, when do we start asking the question as a head coach who's a defensive guru?
Justin, let me stop you there because you said a lot and we got your point.
The question's been asked for 3 years already.
It's been asked before, but I kind of feel today like it's on notice.
Yeah.
Because he is right. They've poured into the defense. Back-to-back draft picks a few years ago. I mean, all the draft capital, Von Miller, on and on. They have gone after defense almost this entire time, you know, in relative to offense. Of course, you're always drafting for both. And here we are at this sort of maybe tipping point for some. Like, all right, you've lost to the Chiefs in the playoffs 4 years out of 5. You got to stop them one of these times. And this is their putting, you know, the fist down. This is their, like, here, Sal's point about Oprah. Here's all of it. Here's another two right. corners, two defensive tackles, edge. Here's just all of it. Make it work. So make it work. The defensive head coach is supposed to, his edge is that you don't need to have all the talent on defense. And, you know, that's been true enough over the years. He made Benford work. And
yeah, it's not for lack of trying, but yeah, they don't have stars right. over there, really.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like they're just perfect and any coach could necessarily
right.
put them, you know, in the top 10. They slipped, and it's another year without it. So you're having the Groundhog Day existence here. Here are my chips. And they're challenging me on wide receiver. I'm B now. They're challenging me on wide receiver. All right, well, look, we did this. Because one of these years, we need to stop these people in January. And if it doesn't happen this year, then what? We'll look all year, we'll be looking back at this draft. And, I mean, they're going to be rookies, so who knows? But all year, we're going to be pointing back to this draft. And, like, this was supposed to be,
yeah.
this was your effort to make that different. So it had better be different.
They really, the last 2 years have happened, so I can't say that they're always doing that, because they did draft Kincaid with their first pick, and then Coleman, despite two trade downs, with their first pick last year. But it feels to me like they have tried. Neither of those are like, we got a number one guy here, right? Coleman was the first pick of the second round, not a blue chip prospect. Kincaid, okay, first tight end. That hopefully that amounts to something for you. But year over year here. They what they just did this weekend, they did in 2020 after losing the AFC title game the first time. That's Rousseau and Basham in that following draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so what I think they really haven't done is try. For a while there, we were like, even when they made those picks in 20, really just got to outscore them. You're not going to get Patrick Mahomes on the ground. You got to build a team that can come back after he comes back on you. Right, and we saw that in the 21 playoffs. I mean, they were just trading blows there, and eventually the Bills lost. Still kind of mind-bogglingly how they did it, but they did. They have not really, to me, had a year in the draft where they have done what they've done on defense a couple times, which is load up. Right? And that's the draft. That's free agency. The closest you can come is the trade for Diggs. They made that. That was a premium asset and a proven commodity that was immediately going to be getting paid, and you did it. And, oh, lo and behold, you took maybe the biggest step you've taken in this entire operation. From playoff team to, like, contender overnight. So I think a lot of the more receivers is just go back to that well. And find your way. Sure, I'd like to give up fewer than 9 yards every offensive play in a playoff game. And I'd like to not have A.J. Klein covering Travis Kelce. And like all the list of things, the defensive failings, the points per game in these elimination games have been rancid. You still have an opportunity to score more points than them. Yeah, I can't stop them. I can't stop them. Oh, until the fourth quarter last year in the AFC title game when you stopped them and gave the offense the ball back and they turned it over on downs themselves. I don't think any of that is unfair. That all happened. So they've not gone as hard at offense, probably because of Allen. And Bean today, I think, reveals that he feels like they don't need to because it's good enough. But is it? Like, is it unassailable because of their points average? Like, think about how the season's ended and how they've reacted to that defensively different times. This time, 2020. The last 2 years, your offense had the ball with a chance to win the game around the two-minute warning in the playoff games that ultimately cost you your season.
Both games literally the two-minute warning, right? The two-minute warning in Buffalo is when they come out and it's the two incompletions.
Right.
And last year in Kansas City, is it the one play?
It's close to it. I can't remember the time, but it's around the. That's why I always say around the 2 minute warning.
I want to make sure, but I think the fourth down play is the 2 minute warning because I remember part of the argument being like, and you had time to set it up.
Yeah.
Of course, in 13 seconds, they called timeout before both of those plays, giving them, in theory, time to set it up. Wow. Brian is next. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. I mean, I guess my point is there's some history here. I mean, Bean is not some 1, 2, 3 level or 3 year kind of GM. He's been here. This is 8 drafts now with Bean. He's taken 9 receivers. What's the average round in which the receiver he takes? 5.2. Oh, but what about Diggs? Yeah, it lowers it to 4.9. So we're waiting to the 5th round to take receivers to support the generational talent that you have at quarterback. You have had all of Allen's 20s. This is why there's urgency, Bean. This is why people are angry. You've had from age 22, this is going to be Allen's 29 year. Are you just entitled to his entire career? McDermott and Bean, this is just the one philosophy? We've seen your philosophy, Bean. I guess that's my point. You've had 8 years. You don't take receiver. You got the big swing for Diggs, yes. And after that, your most successful receiver is what? Shakir? He's going to have 150 targets this year. You have 4 viable wide receivers on the roster right now. You can't afford Curtis Samuel to be hurt. He has to play, and he has to be good. You better hope that Keon Coleman takes a step because he can't separate. It puts more pressure on Allen. What I see is a death by 1,000 cuts type of offense where you've got to squeeze blood from a stone. It's 100% efficiency. Allen can't afford a mistake. He's got to be great to score those points. You got to have no turnovers. It's got to go your way. We see it in the playoffs. Mac Hollins was your number one wide receiver in that playoff game. It's no different than 2019 in Houston when Duke Williams is getting the most targets and your fullback down the field is catching passes. Trent Sherfield, you want to pick a point in between? He's having to catch dives from Allen because you got nobody else. You've rested on your laurels since Diggs, man. It started with Emmanuel Sanders. You want to point the pin where it started for me was Emmanuel Sanders is your number two. He was out of retirement. He wanted to retire. You talked him out of it. And since then, it's been scrubs. Look at the draft history. He takes two type of receivers, a 5'10", 4'5", 4'4", 5' kind of guy, or he takes 6'3", 4'5", to 4'6", type players. And they don't pan out. Shorter, Isaiah Hodgins, Gabe Davis. Keep going down the list. Marquez Stevenson. So if you want to get into the names, Crowder in free agency. They're the same type of player. They don't invest in it. So, Bean, you act like there's no history to stand on. You got boat raced in the playoffs by the Bengals. Yeah, in part because of the defense, but in part because Allen has nowhere to go with the ball. And you make it so hard on him. That's what fans are reacting to. It's not 1 year. It's not 2 years. It's not fantasy football. You've been at this 8 years, and now McDermott gets more resources. More resources for a coach who's 7-7 in the playoffs, and we're still talking about culture in year 8. We've seen your plan. You're topped out, man. Get it done this year.
Brian. Boom. We haven't mentioned in a while that Bean also mentioned picking Allen this morning in that, you know, heated conversation. And
kind of led with it, actually. Yeah,
That's something. Like, how long has he been waiting to whip that out? I picked Josh Allen. In no disrespectful way, I wonder how much credit Bean thinks he deserves for that. I mean, he made the pick. So, 2 years went by, and I don't know where we were on that. You know, it's not like out of the box, Allen was just a perfect player. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve credit, just like it's blame when you pick the player, it doesn't work out. You know, it's tied to you. It has to work both ways. It's only fair. But that today was, I picked Josh Allen and you didn't think I should. So how'd I do? Kind of take. And I mean, that's a long time ago. It comes in over the top of like these recent drafts where I can't come back with Elam right now, right?
Because,
interesting thing. Thanks, Brian. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.
Josh Palmer is a good player, and he's going to help us a lot. And I believe he has helped us upgrade our receiving core this year. Let's don't forget adding Josh Palmer. We spent some money there. We obviously paid Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel. Hopefully he doesn't start out nicked up the way he did. I thought he finished strong for us. Hopefully that's the guy we get. But if he's your fourth receiver, like, that's pretty good. So I'm not sure at some point in the draft where you're adding that you're going, man, he's better than that.
Brandon Bean this morning on WGR, part of a lengthy conversation. It was Shakir, he said at the end, if he's your fourth receiver.
No, Samuel. He was talking about Samuel there.
Okay.
He just mentioned Shakir. I think he sort of maybe omitted him the first time through and then got there, but was circling back to Samuel. I think that was.
You would expect, it always happens even on bad teams, you would expect the people to pump up their own people. Like, that is always what happens, almost always what happens. But we're counting on some guys here that really have just not been important NFL players. And that includes Palmer. And you're hearing Bean, like, we spent a lot of money on him. That's one thing. He's never been an important player in the league. Like, that's what the Bills did last year is all these guys added up to, and they ran the ball great and just turnovers. It added up to a winning formula until Kansas City again. You can't pick at their offense, really. It worked. But it's risky.
I'm going to object to a lot of money on that's not a lot of money.
Well, okay, but
you know, like, receiver wise, I mean, I get it. It's more than just about anything else, receiver wise, that they're spending. You know, Shakir comes over the top of it eventually. This year, his cap number is still really low, Shakir. But these are they're all right homes in a pretty good school district that's adjacent to a better one, is where I think, like, they're at with the receiver. Like, they're not like terribly bad off, but they're not great. I mean, those four guys, Samuel, when's the last time Samuel had a season that you'd go, oh, there's that's my number four. That's a guy that's really contributing, that's helping here. I feel like it's been a while.
It was for Carolina.
Right. So, like, the injuries with him, hopefully he'll stay healthy. What did Jason Zucker say at locker cleanout about hope and it being a strategy? You know, sure, I hope that they're healthy too. I hope that Keon Coleman breaks through. I hope that Dalton Kincaid, you know, fulfills the promise of a 73-catch rookie season in his third season. That's all just hoping. Like, not really, with the exception of Shakir, has anyone really done what you're, I think, saying you're going to need them to do, which is hold down that job at a you know, better than league average level. Who's that? Coleman has an incomplete grade for the first season because of the injury. Okay, so how bankable is that? Not very. Kincaid, same thing, just a year further down the line. Incomplete. Okay. Shakir, very nice player. I love it. Can count on it. Right? Pencil in for 85 catches or whatever. 90. Maybe more.
Wide receiver. That's a wide receiver three.
Great. Who's the rest? Palmer? Palmer had the same number of catches in his best year that Kincaid had as a rookie and has never been close to it again.
Samuel, in fairness, had two back-to-back, almost identical stat line seasons for Washington before coming here. They're 60 for 604. Not, you know, startable in fantasy football, dare I say it, but not nothing. Kevin is next. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay, everybody take a breath. I think what needs to be asked is that who would you have taken as a wide receiver that was a known wide receiver, that was a NCAA Division I top wide receiver at pick 30.
Nobody.
And I would ask.
Right? Yeah, nobody. No, nobody. Nobody is saying that they should have done
right.
That.
My question then is, why didn't we trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr. last year?
Oh, my gosh. Kevin, tell me what that trade would have been. He went, what, fourth overall?
You guys want a wide receiver?
There was no possible way to do that. You could have offered every one of your draft picks and the first round this year. You would not have been able to make that trade.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, you're sure.
Yes.
My second point is...
Is it as good as this first one?
We have always heard... We don't know that, do we? What we've always heard is defense wins championships.
I have a guess.
Yeah, we scored a lot of points. But the problem is we couldn't stop people on defense when we needed to. That's the issue. That's why they did this.
That's also something everybody concedes.
And I'm sure the Bills will get a wide receiver in the offseason. I'm 100% sure about that.
Would any wide receiver count for this, Kevin? Are you going to give yourself points if it's anybody?
No.
It's happening today.
I'm not giving myself points, Mike.
Who could it be?
The point is, I don't know who it's going to be.
Well, it won't be anybody good.
More about...
Look, Kevin, I'm not just messing with you. Free agency's over. It's today, Elijah Moore, okay? That's what you're talking about. Last year, you could have counted Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Chase Claypool. Does that count? That's not quality.
It's not quality when they're playing, when their quarterbacks aren't Josh Allen.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin. I'm sure we're bad guys. Larry's next. Hi, Larry.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, so... One of the problems that I think a lot of people are having that nobody's saying is none of the guys that they've gone out and gotten in the draft have really hit. I mean, Rousseau's a nice player. Benford's probably the one that's, like, the guy that really hit. But none of these guys have turned into something where you're like, oh, yeah, you know, Rousseau's going to his fourth year, and you're not looking at him like, hey, that's a dominant defensive end that someone guys are game planning for. And so that's where I think, like, the two swings that Bean has made, Diggs and Miller. Miller worked until he got injured. That was looking okay. Like,
but it's also a huge financial commitment for a guy who was at the end of his career.
Well, true. But if he doesn't get injured and it looked the way it looked, you did, and it went through the season that way.
No.
You could have got, I would say you could have gotten away with it if that had happened. I'm not saying
you might have said, you might have said that was worth it.
Sure.
It was worth it.
It would
Super Bowl or not, Super, I mean, granted, Super Bowl would make it obviously worth it, but Super Bowl or not, if it worked out the rest of that season the way it did while he was playing, you would have said, okay, that was a good swing. It was worth it.
I don't think you can qualify that way. They were already, thanks, Larry. That's a, fair enough. They were already at a point on their growth chart where to make that deal with Von Miller, I don't think I can say, even if they don't win a Super Bowl, it was worth it. They kind of had to win. That was the point.
Yep.
They didn't have him, and how have the last couple of years gone without him? The same. So you got him, and I think they might have even framed it this way.
The closer.
You got the closer. That's why you got him, and it cost you massively, you know, in terms of the contract. That had to – It was a very tough needle to thread. That had to be in the playoffs. He got hurt. Can you blame the Bills for that? Not exactly.
No,
older player.
I wouldn't want to blame. I mean, you knew the risks. Would you have done it? Would you have done it this past March? Same age, same situation. My answer is yes. Like, I'm in here. I want Myles Garrett. I want T.J. Watt. I want Trey Hendrickson. So Miller was a version of that, that you didn't have to give up anything to get other than the money, and the money was going to be massive. Yeah, you do that to win the Super Bowl. You'll never hear me, like, is it a bad contract? Yes. Is it a problem that he is hurt and not producing? Sure. Yeah, that's bad. I've never criticized the signing because I would have done the signing – again, I think 100 times out of 100.
Ooh, okay.
It was worth trying to do. And, you know, yeah, the injury risk with a player that age and his injury history included is massive. To me, worth the risk. I'm taking a swing. I'm going to try this. And, yeah, it was close to working. It was on track to work. But it didn't. I don't go, therefore, you shouldn't have done it. What a bad move. Despite the ramifications. The ramifications were big. It was, to me, worth doing and would be again.
Two things. Whether it was this past call or Larry or the previous one, is this fair? Like, they are drafting really late in every round every year. Like, it's not like you're sitting at the top of the draft and you can be Cleveland and get it right, you know? So there's that disadvantage. It makes it tough. When you talk about Rousseau, it makes it tougher.
Mm-hmm.
That's also Coleman. It's even if they draft Worthy, maybe that's just iffy, not perfect. Second, Marvin Harrison Jr., how dare you? I mean, follow the league.
Right.
Somebody is in his car going, at least Brian Thomas. Don't you know? You want to put that point in front of these guys? Sound like you follow the league. You could have traded up for Brian Thomas. Of course, it's hindsight, and I wouldn't have done it. So that's on me, I guess. But Marvin Harrison Jr., you just do not follow the draft. Scott is next. Hi, Scott.
Hey guys, thanks for letting me on.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Are you sure you want to go through with it?
Go back. You know what? I think I do.
All right.
A couple of times, but
right.
End of the day, I think we're going to end up just fine. But for today's purposes, I guess I want to. I kind of want to go back. I remember a year ago. It seems like we were having this exact same conversation going into the draft. It just seems like we've just gone again. And I guess we all knew ad nauseum for the last couple of months that we were going to go on defense. I mean, it didn't matter. We were all talking about, Sal was like, we're going to double up. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. So we kind of knew where we were. And I think to your point, which means a lot because of how we win every year, we don't have the opportunity to go in there and pick up a lot of these good receivers. So I don't understand that piece of it. And the baseline to this whole thing is, are we putting points on the board? We obviously are. So all the people that want to bitch and moan about how we don't have the receivers to do this, well, we're figuring out how to put all the points on the board because we're second in the league in scoring, I think. So a way to do that. Secondarily to the whole thing is that you look at a team like Kansas City who struggled mightily during the middle of the year. What kept them in the games? It was their defense, and it wasn't just me. Lots of people said that a defense that kept in the game waiting for their offense to start showing up. They had some of the similar problems. They didn't have the star wide receivers. They picked those guys up. And I guess we just need to take a step back and remember, we got a really good team here. at some point here. I mean, we traded Mac Hollins off, and he was our best receiver last year, but we still put points on the board.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens this year. Again, you're not making points that anybody's disputing. If the straw man argument is, why should they have drafted defense? Nobody's saying they shouldn't have drafted defense. Not only did everybody expect them to, I mean, it's logical. It makes sense. And that is further to why Bean being the way he was today is so interesting. Like, he had no particular, easy for me to someone else to say, but it was so strange. He was triggered by hearing probably the conversation about receivers as he joined the show. And really, easy enough, and he's probably done it over and over in interviews, is like, yeah, well, our defense needed more help. And that's it. So it was a better draft for defense. That's just going to be his opinion. He's qualified.
Plenty of people share that opinion.
Right. I mean, he's easily in the majority on both points. What the draft was good for, A, and B, what was needed for the Bills. So you really don't need, but guys, don't forget, defense wins championships. But we haven't forgotten that. It's a conversation about whether the guys they have are good enough and whether the Bills care enough and notice it and want to get really seriously better at that position. And by their actions, it's no. Trading down last year for Coleman, etc. This caller who wants them to get a wide receiver, and then he's mad at me for saying, like, who would count at this point? Go ahead and tell me. Bean today, I mean, I don't think I have to worry about it, totally boxed himself in. We can't have shows in the next 5 months about whether the Bills should trade for some wide receiver if somebody's George Pickens, right? George Pickens maybe is somebody that still could be traded. Bulldog and I come on the air tomorrow. Do you think the Bills should trade for George Pickens? You idiot. Didn't you hear the general manager yesterday? There's nothing he's going to do. He's told you. Well, imagine if he did that. What's going on? It would seem like maybe Pegula came in over the top and made it happen, like he's Antonio Brown or something. Man, feels good. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Congratulations to Mark Gaughan on his retirement.
Oh, I'm so glad you Buffalo News. Thought to mention that, because I expressed something on social earlier and had a mind to want to say something on the air. Yeah, 43 years, 35 of them covering the Bills. I mean, just tremendous. I mean, he goes back to when I, like, before I first started, when Vic and Larry and, like, this whole crew were covering the Bills. Mark crossed from that to current times. Just a tremendous career he's had.
In the times of the days when I would go to the stadium, two different kind of eras of that, I always found Mark to be sort of a calming, gentle presence, face in the press box, because sometimes I'd be sort of sparring with the Bills and kind of like a little bit feeling uncomfortable, or just even maybe someone else in the media. But Mark was somebody that, like, you know, just a nice, sweet guy, it seems. I don't know him that well to be talking like this, but always enjoyed being around Mark.
Same here.
Johnny is next. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You know, I think it was the guy before the last break, Brian, who had some great points about the Bills wide receiver corps and how it's just something that's been neglected for so long. And it just feels like he was saying, like, it's average around five every year where we're taking a receiver and being like, maybe. And it just, you know, I hear all these people saying, oh, defense wins championships, defense wins this. But at the end of the day, like, the last two playoffs, we've had the ball with 2 minutes left and a chance to win with Josh Allen, the quarterback. And what I saw were guys who couldn't separate on the field. And when a receiver goes down, whether it's Shakir or a tight end like Kincaid, somebody gets injured for a few games, it completely – and I know we still score points, and it's a hard argument to make, and I get it. And that's Bean's point. Well, we still score points. But this offense isn't scary. Against some of the better defenses like a Kansas City, like a Houston, like a Baltimore, this offense struggles. And we continue to just pour assets into the defense, whether it has been our numerous free agent signings over the winter or spring, I should say, and then the draft, the first five picks, you're like, okay, defense, defense, defense. And we went into last year with the same concerns. Oh, what are we going to do? You know, we have a bottom five receiving core in the NFL. I come into this year, and I don't see it any differently. We still have a bottom five receiving core. So to say, and I think most media members, most NFL teams would say the same thing. And to say, like, oh, I don't know why you guys want a receiver. Well, why wouldn't we? We want to see the most talent around a generational quarterback who, if we didn't have, or if it was, you know, some of the things he does, I don't think a guy like, you know, maybe Mahomes and Jackson are the only two quarterbacks who could do what Allen does with the level of talent around him. And then you've got a guy like James Cook who is kind of holding out a little bit. You know, we don't know what he's going to do. And so there's an iffy position. It's like, not saying we should have taken a running back, but we need playmakers on this offense for our quarterback. And Josh Palmer, what has he done in the league? He's a completely unproven commodity. And I look at Philly, who's got an A.J. Brown, a Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, Saquon Barkley. Like, they're paying all these guys on offense, and they're like, yeah, we love it. And defensively, they're strong too. You compare the rosters, okay, maybe we have a slightly better offensive line, maybe comparable, but position to position, Josh Allen and Christian Benford might be the only two winning positions on that football field if you compare apples to apples.
Okay. Thanks, Johnny. What an interesting day. I got a question about today after the update. We'll have time for more of your calls, of course, 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.